Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back indeed. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the king of king himself, the man who always gets the job done, unlike Bill Cosby. I am the Hot Rod. Oops. Did I just say Bill Cosby? Oh, bad reference. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, the man who acts like Bill Cosby.
Yeah, right. Please. Anyway, stay away from the pudding. It is Sean Black back in the building once again.
And also, I have the lovely Tisha, or Trouble T, on the line.
Good night, guys.
Yes.
Hello. Okay, first, before we get started, tell me the number to call to complain about Bill Cosby or anybody else, or how much you cannot stand Sean Black talking, is 347-989-8402. Sean Black and Tisha, are you ready to make America great again and piss people off?
Yes.
Yes,
you actually got through it this week without tripping over you. See, this is what happens when he's actually sober. See, last week he got into his special stock. This
of
week,
course. Yes, and I got 2 hours of sleep. Yippee-ki-yay. But
that's a lot. But before we get into pissing people off, I want to bring something up to, like I said last week, near the end of the week before, a friend of ours has called up the show, Max. He has his own blog, and it's a really good blog. The website for it is realissues.blogspot.com, and he does a lot of really pretty good introspective advice column, so to speak. You know, he gets into differences in opinion and how self-improvement, those kinds of things. You'll really enjoy it. He does it every so often, maybe once or maybe twice a week. Check it out. The website, again, realissues.blogspot.com. It's a very good blog. Sometimes it's short, sometimes it's a little longer, but you'll enjoy it nonetheless. Pretty good message. It's also very positive, so check that out.
And also, please, when you do read the blog, please feel free to comment with your thoughts or questions. He'd be happy to answer them. This is our job, to inform people. And his blog is just like the Absolute Truth, to open your mind about things and aspects in life. Because, as we say all the time, a lot of people are brainwashed or afraid to think or open their mind about what's going on in life. About what's going on in life. This past weekend, at the White House Correspondent Dinner, Sean Black, because I know you love politics very well, comedian Michelle Wolf said a few jokes about, you know, the Trump administration. Not to get too much into the story, she got a lot of backlash from her jokes, being too harsh, or a.k.a. being bullied. Do you think Michelle jokes was A, over harsh, a.k.a. bully the Trump administration, or she was exercising her First Amendment right, you know, and just entertaining the crowd?
I find it absolutely hilarious that the Trump White House finds this over the top and disrespectful. For the most part, the White House Correspondents' Dinner is nothing more than a roast. If anybody has ever seen a roast with Richard Pryor or any other of the multitude of comedians that goes to host these dinners, their job is to basically take the task through comedy and jokes the current administration is there and make them feel as uncomfortable as possible. That's their job. That's what comedians are supposed to do. Now, the jokes that we heard, at least a couple of them that were in question, are pulling it into thinking that it could have been a little over the top, et cetera, et cetera. I got 3 jokes that were done. I'll tell them really, really quick. They got upset over the one with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who is the person that does basically spin for the president. And she basically said a joke of, she burns facts and uses the ash to create a perfect smoky eye. And that's one of the jokes that was told. Another
that
joke
one was
she
my
told,
favorite.
Yes. Another joke she told was about Roy Moore, when she said, quote, "I'm 32, which is a weird age. 10 years too young to host this event and 20 years too old for Roy Moore. We know what Roy Moore got in trouble with. The last joke she did that I'll bring up is she talked about Trump loves white nationalists, which is a weird term for Nazis. Calling a Nazi a white nationalist is like calling a pedophile a kid friend or Harvey Weinstein a ladies' man.
Oh, gosh.
Sick
okay.
burns. But you know what? Comedians or a comedian, their job is to basically needle the administration and needle everybody and push the envelope. That's their job. And for the
yeah.
Trump administration to really be that upset is very hypocritical. When the person that the first joke was about, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, is the one that was brought out there at the White House Correspondents' Dinner to represent Trump, who was too chicken to show up in the first place.
Well, he doesn't like this dinner because of, a.k.a. fake news. He hates the media. But, yes, these jokes are funny, but do you think, once again, in this time sensitive era that we're going through today, and you know me, I always call you the sensitive bitch, you don't think it was, I mean, it sounds funny, it sounds a little bit true, but it doesn't sound like she was attacking the Trump administration with these jokes?
Not attacking. I think she was joking. She was saying what a lot of people that listen to these kinds of jokes and have no voice really to say what they say about what's going on and putting it in a lighthearted way or as close to lighthearted as possible. As a comedian, these are the kinds of things that comedians do. Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, George Carlin, Lenny Bruce. Those comedians are there to basically get, you know, to tell the needle of what's going on and then flip it on whoever's there to listen. And they're usually there to go ahead and bring up to speed what's going on in a view that you can understand and laugh at the same time to realize that there's a lot of truth behind the pain of certain jokes. Some jokes do go overboard, but this one I do not look at as bullying.
Okay, Tisha?
First of all, what did they think they were going to? I don't understand it. Everybody was like all tight and everything. You're going to a roast. This is what happened. I seen Obama get roasted, and he's there cracking up with whatever
exactly.
the comedian was saying. So have a sense of humor there. I think this administration is a little bit they're too tight. But when Trump tweets, everybody is okay with that, and that's kind of over the board.
That's the reason why I said it's very, very hypocritical. Is the
yeah,
fact
it's
that
very hypocritical.
This is the administration that wants to let everybody see how tough they are. And when you have the president, the top of the line, making all of the insults and the inquiries and the name-calling and goes out and says what he likes to say, which is an insult to most other people, doesn't like it when the shoe is on the other foot. And that's how
and don't forget
across.
The insults to other countries, too, because he
yeah.
said a lot of things. You know what I mean? So that's pushing the envelope right there.
Yes.
Let's not talk about pushing the envelope. They need to just laugh at themselves.
Yes.
Okay. And you know what? That leads to my next segment, which I'll go throw K-Dog in there also. Talk about pushing the envelope. We did discuss this last Friday night a little bit about Kanye West. Kanye West went on board as to social media of how much he support Donald Trump by wearing the hat, make America great again, which that's been the slogan that won everything. We all know how you guys feel about Donald Trump. I don't want to get into that because that's like a month's worth of show.
Yeah.
But, Keisha, do you think Kanye West did a career suicide by admitting that he's a Trump supporter? And do you think because of this that makes him labeled as a coon?
Well, he is a coon, and Kanye West doesn't like black people. Wasn't that what he said of Bush at one point? Give me a break, Kanye West.
Yeah.
It's like, which side are you on right about now?
Well, he's just saying what's on his mind. He's not entitled to support Bush. He's not the only first and not only black person that supports Bush and Trump and his ideas and his presidency. So what does that make Kanye a bad person now all of a sudden? That he lost
doesn't
over
make him
9
a bad
million.
Person.
No, that he lost over 9 million followers on Twitter?
It doesn't make him a bad person. It makes him a hypocrite. You are you're entitled to your opinion as far as who you support, who you like to be around, who you want to give your undying support as far as that goes. But when you have a person such as Donald Trump, who in the eyes of the African-American community is like the complete bane of the African-American community's existence, with all of the things that Trump has said over the years, even before he became president, and his actions show a lack of support to the same people that Kanye West markets his music to, that's the reason why the people, his fans, have turned on him, because it makes him look like he's, quote-unquote, sold out over either a friendship with Trump or a kinship or whatever he wants to call it. And that is reflected on the amount of people that have just decided, you know what, I don't approve of this. Kanye West could care less at this point, I think, because he's still making a ton of money. He's married to a Kardashian, and he's still going to be Kanye West.
K-Dog, I know you have a lot to say about this, sir.
Well, first up, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing? Well, anyway, what I got to say about Kanye West is going to do whatever Kanye West does, and that is to stir up controversy, because once again, we see Kanye West running his mouth and stirring up controversy by saying that he supports Trump. Now, will it hurt his brand? I don't really think so, but I could say this about Kanye West. Do I label him a coon? Of course, because of the buffoonery, the stupid things he does with all this stuff with the Kardashians and saying a bunch of things that are reckless. And I, at the same time as I call him a coon, I call him a hypocrite, because this is the same man who years ago during Hurricane Katrina said that George Bush cares nothing for black people. Now all of a sudden you're supporting somebody who – you're supporting Donald Trump who wants to build a wall to stop people from coming here, and second, a president who praised white nationalists who marched, and also – this is someone who practically banned a certain group of people from coming into this country. Now, I don't know what Kanye West thinks he's doing, but you're supporting somebody who has preached nothing but division in this country. I mean, ever since Donald Trump has gone into the White House, we've seen nothing but more hate crimes that have not even been reported in the mainstream news media, but time and time again we see the same thing happening. And this is what, like I said, this is what Kanye West does. He stirs up controversy. I don't know if it's to sell record sales, which, by the way, I heard one of his songs today and it sucks big time. Don't buy it. But however, Kanye West is going to do whatever the hell he does.
Tisha, I'm going to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. What do you think is Kanye's end game with this? Where do you think he goes from the entire backlash? Because remember, he had this little quote-unquote beef with John Legend. They went at it back and forth over Twitter and ended up going to some sort of a release party, and they're chumming it up like nothing happened. So what do you think as far as this the Trump deal, what do you think is the end game for Kanye?
His end game to me is he's still going to make money. Him and, you know, how John Legend is acting, obviously, you know, towards that. I mean, he is John Legend's boss. So you're going to continue doing what you're doing until maybe, who knows, until your contract is up. Maybe Jay-Z might pick him up. Who knows? But as far as Kanye, I don't think Kanye cares. Ever since, to me, since his mom passed, he's been dealing with certain mental issues, and the longer that you let certain things go, it's going to pile up within years upon years upon years, may develop into, who knows, bipolar. We don't know his personal, you know, mental history right now, but I'm tired of that being an excuse. He is who he is, and that's how I look at it. He's married to, like you said, a Kardashian. He doesn't care. He had his own money coming into that. He doesn't really care about us.
Okay,
I think
so
at this point, you know, he cares about Kanye.
That's what I'm saying.
All right,
Kanye's going to do whatever Kanye does.
Excuse me, I have Brother B in the house now. Brother B.
What's up, Brother
Greetings
B?
And salutations, everyone. How y'all doing?
Hey, Brother B.
What's going on, man?
Okay. All right, Brother B. Please entertain me how you feel about... I know you don't care about Kanye, and Kanye does not care about you. But
sure
do you label... But do you label Kanye West as a coon for the supporting Donald Trump, or, you know what, in the end, Kanye do what he wants to do?
I think he's the prime, one of the reasons what's wrong with black people. I don't appreciate his stance on this whole Make America Great Again when it was actually made off the back and the blood of your ancestors. But he's down with the Kardashians, and they're giving him the soup and the pills, so, you know, he doesn't even know who he is anymore. But Kanye West is something that we just don't need to have, and we got enough internal issues already. We don't need somebody like Kanye dancing for the white folk, because that's what he's doing. He's shucking and jiving, and he's proven to them, see, we can still, it's like, if it was one of those conversations that we are not supposed to hear, the white people would be behind the door like, see, we can still control some of them, and we can
mm-hmm.
use him to control the rest of
mm-hmm.
them, too. So, you know
exactly.
what? Listen, we still have the power. Let's use it.
I think
you're right
what
about
I'm aiming
that.
At, I think what I'm aiming at overall, like, you guys make great points, and I agree, but why do you think the majority of the fans or the people should care about Kanye West crossing over to the dark side if Kanye West really don't care what people think? So in other words, why people get upset or very upset about this situation?
Because Kanye West
hypocrite.
Is in a unique situation where
yeah.
he actually influences where money goes, what trends are set, fashion,
basically,
record sales, et cetera, et cetera. And when you have it's a special situation where you have an African-American male who is a seemingly is a family man, he has children, he's married, that is in the position that he's in, and he can influence many millions and millions of fans, both young and old and everyone in between, and he is seen supporting somebody who, for many people in this country, President of the United States does not represent them or their interests. That's when people have to care, because when people start with whatever advertisements and whatever ad money that Kanye has linked to the Kardashians, if the people that don't support the idea of him supporting Donald Trump, they run in the opposite direction, then you're going to start to have a backlash in his pocket, which will then make other companies look at this and reevaluate what's going on with Kanye. This is one of the reasons why you keep hearing about, oh, he might be bipolar, he might have a God complex, he might suffer from certain mania, he might, all of these things. I personally, I don't think he's been the same since his mother passed. And he's been doing certain things and lashing out. We remember the Taylor Swift stuff on the stage. We remember
yeah.
the acting out that he's done over the years and some things he said online. Those are kinds of things that are obviously very, very weird.
So,
and
in
I think
other
that's
words,
happened since his mother passed.
So, besides the mother path, do you believe that the Kardashians have a big impact on Kanye West today? For
to
where
some,
he's acting right now?
Of course.
If I may ask, I'm sorry to interject, but if I may
sure.
ask, okay. Let's,
yeah.
hypothetically, because I know it happens, but I just find it very interesting how his mother died from some simple procedure. During,
yeah.
but she would see, yeah, I
plastic
yeah,
surgery,
she was going
yeah.
to plastic surgery. I find it very interesting how she just like, wow, like she died of that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm, like I said, I'm not saying anything, but I just find it interesting. But then after that, he just starts this meltdown, and he next thing you know is like with him, he goes to the dark side. And I'm like, wow, like, what's really going on? Like, was there some issue before we came along? I mean, listen, you can't run around telling people that you're God, I'm God. This and that. Listen, the white people are laughing, and everybody else is saying, yo, this dude is crazy. But the white people are laughing because, you know what
well,
I'm saying? They know they made this. They're partially responsible for this. And he needs help.
You know what? You know, even before his mother died, he's been acting up because
This was someone who, during the MTV Awards, and this was before he did that incident with Taylor Swift, when he had lost an award for best video, he threw a tantrum backstage because, you know, he acted like a little spoiled brat. Like,
how come I didn't win this award?
They can't give a black man a chance. And he's even wild out, like, if he didn't, and even during the Grammy, like, if he didn't win a Grammy, he would wild out. But he's like, oh, you know, thank you for this Grammy. And people would ask me, how would I feel if I didn't win a Grammy? You'll never know, holding his Grammy up in the sky and stuff. And, you know, this was someone who acted like a spoiled brat even before all of that happened. So Kanye, you know, that's his personality. That's who he is. He's gonna, Kanye's gonna do what Kanye does, and that is stir up controversy.
So are you saying, K-Dog, this is nothing new? Kanye,
no.
The only person Kanye could blame is Kanye himself.
Yeah, because listen, like I said, he's done this before. He's done this before. He's wild out before. And
but how do you turn around and talk about Jay-Z and Illuminati, but then you aligning yourself with this dude?
Exactly, because he's Kanye West.
But then
Kanye
again,
West.
But then again, guys, don't people change? You have the right to change your mind. You know, you could see
no,
the light.
Everyone has a right to change their mind, but you know, if you're gonna change your mind, you gotta check where you're changing your mind to. You understand?
Well, then
like,
again, we all agree that money and power changes people, right?
Of course it does. Of course it does. Money and power changes everybody because you know what it is? It's like when you have all the money, you're above everything pity. You're above you put yourself in a mindset that you're above everyone else. And that's the thing that goes on when you get money. It makes you power hungry.
And it's interesting,
you lose your sense of mind
because of this tax bracket. When you're making,
exactly,
what, $300 million a year or whatever insane amount of money he takes in, and then you marry that to the Kardashian family, who was making money hand over fist for what most people perceive as really nothing. They both are now hands in the pot. They have a family. They have an empire to build. He has his music career. Kim and the rest of the family have their TV careers and design and all the other stuff that they have their hands in so many different meals that they have to make sure that the kitchen doesn't burn down. And this is one of the things that could actually start a fire, is if one of
these
little meals gets burned because somebody went to a market or turned on the people that were feeding them the food that they needed for that particular meal.
Oh, you're right about that. It does happen.
I think they're well fed for, you know, generations upon generations, and that's why he can turn to Donald Trump, because he knows he's never going to need Trump. Like, let's say we're going to need him. You get my point?
Yeah.
So
of course.
Trump is not there for us. He's not there for Kanye either, but Kanye doesn't see it like that because he's filthy rich. You're in that tax bracket.
That's what I'm saying. Money
neither one of them need each other.
But when does it not become? Why does it always have to be about money? And I hate to go this route, but I have to. Minorities seem to be more of a people of substance sometimes. White people just seem like we're going to take, give. We just got to look at the history of the country and the way it was built and the way it's going. And I see it like this. Money before, like, the paper before your own personal wealth. Self-worth.
He
has no self-worth. You can have all that money, but he has no self-worth.
But it's just like you said, Brother B, it's just like you said, what the country was built on. Wasn't it built on house
niggas
too?
Yes,
so,
it was.
You know what I mean?
You know what? A house Negro is going to be a house Negro. And you know, nothing's going to change that, because you know what? The house Negro always stays in the house. And you know, they love the master more than the master loves himself. That's not going to change.
But isn't the paper the root of all evil? Isn't the paper that's a true god to a lot of people?
Well, you know what? This is what we've become slaves to. We've become slaves to the almighty dollar. You understand what I'm saying?
I don't even think it's the dollar itself. I think it's the ideal behind
what
that paper gets. I don't
mm-hmm.
think
most people, some people think it's power.
Yes, and it's
power.
The problem is
that's fake
when
power.
You have so much power, or you are aspiring,
you're
to
above
get
everything
to that.
Pity. You're above everyone else. That's your mindset.
Hold on, excuse me, before I go on to the next one. Brother B, why do you call that fake power?
Because money is not real. Like, you know what? I hate to get preachy, but you know what's real? The power of forgiveness, the power of loving somebody, the power of wanting to be there for people, the power of humanity. That's real power. Money is just paper. It doesn't mean anything. And I don't see how people always get caught up in, oh, well, I got this and I got that. That material stuff means nothing. At the end of it all, we all go in the same hole, buried the same way. If you're a man, you're in a suit. If you're a woman, you're in a dress. You all go mm-hmm. in a box. We all go in a box. And when it's all over, where does that paper go? It doesn't. You know what? I'll just end off like this. That eulogy tells it all.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's your character. Your character.
But
Brother
B, I'll add to what you just said. You said money is just paper. In the end, that money is going to pay for that hole you dig to put your body in.
Not necessarily.
For those people that don't have the money, they're not going to be remembered for that eulogy.
So
I understand where you're coming from.
I bury in the backyard. That's it. I was buried in the backyard. That's it. I don't need no money for that. I can do that myself.
If you have enough people that care and love you as who you are, and you've touched enough people emotionally, then you won't have to worry about looking for the money to do so. But there are a lot of people who die in the streets every day. There are a lot of people that die alone in some sort of hospital somewhere else, where they don't even get a proper burial. And the reason why that is because they don't have that same paper that is basically running the way this country and the way this world thinks. And that's the scary part about that thought process.
True,
okay.
But I'll tell you this. You
sure.
see Hot Rod, you see this show, you see Sean Black and everyone else, no matter what, at the end of the day, everybody's always going to remember. People are going to remember the absolute truth. People are going to remember the players, and they're going to remember the communication, the conversation. They're going to remember that somebody gave a damn enough to talk about it, and that's going to be worth way more than money ever will be.
I'm sorry, I have to move on. And a lot of people will remember how many times every week I pissed them off on the air, too. So keep that part
that's
in mind.
Right.
And Hot Rod,
just keeping it real.
I have to agree with you. That's probably the best part about this is the fact that we're both able to piss people off, and you're the yin and I'm your yang. So there we go.
No, that's not so gay. I'm sorry. That's not
Kumbaya.
That was a Kumbaya moment. That was Kumbaya.
My goodness.
Kumbaya as we're going to get.
But talk about moments. I want to continue from last Friday night from our talk about Bill Cosby and the verdict.
Yeah.
Basically, everybody, and Brother B and I talked about it over the weekend, everybody has been going crazy saying their piece about Bill Cosby. And it seems like a lot of people are still upset about it. Bottom line, are we upset that Bill Cosby found guilty? Or are we upset that the system itself has worked more for the white people, which would not surprise compared to a black man? Because let's be honest, if he was found innocent, would it be right to be cheering the same way we cheer for OJ's sister when he was found not guilty? Can someone explain to me? Go ahead, K-Dog.
Well, listen, you know, as we all know, we live in a country where I'll boldly say the justice system does not work well for black people in this country. And
it was never meant for us.
It was never meant for us. And had Bill Cosby been acquitted, would we cheer? Probably people would, because they would have been like, hey, he's America's dad, and plus what Bill Cosby represented for black people in this country and also the contribution that he's made towards black causes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at the whole system, the way it happened, I mean, I don't condone anybody who does any violation to women, but I believe that people's reaction would be far different had he been acquitted of the crime. Just like the, and we can't compare to O.J. because it was something totally different with O.J. Simpson.
You know what? That makes it from this sense. The difference between a verdict that would have been read with an African-American celebrity versus somebody that was a Caucasian celebrity, the African-American response is such where even if there is guilt in the testimony and that person gets off,
mm-hmm.
you will not hear outrage. You will hear, because of all of the things that we've heard in the past with a lot of African-Americans, it's good, it burns. Now you know what it feels like, that same kind of reaction that O.J. got. Whereas if this was a different, completely different story and you flip the races around, if there's guilt involved and the person gets off, you're going to hear outrage. It's like, he got off.
Of course.
He might not have done the crime, but he did this, 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 and this. And therein is the difference in why there's so much angst and so much anger in the African-American community, not because of the fact that Bill Cosby was caught and that he was guilty. It's the fact that this reflects on how few African-American celebrities there are to be able to have looked at as a quote-unquote a pedestal, et cetera. There was a time when Bill Cosby was actually the second most popular figure in the world behind the Pope. Behind the Pope. Think about that. The Pope looked at it as this worldly figure. Bill Cosby was second in popularity. And when you can, as an African-American, transcend your own race into an entity that not only do black people feel safe with, white people feel safe with, Asians and every other denomination, race, creed, etc., can feel comfortable to sell anything with, that shows you how powerful he was. And for that to go down the toilet, a lot of African-Americans are looking at themselves and wondering, are there any other African-Americans or any black people around the world that can get that much of a penetration of trust to the world without having this attached to them or something attached to them?
Oh, you're right about
okay.
that.
Hold on. Tisha?
I'm going to start off with, first of all, I don't know why we're still talking about this, why we expected it to go a different way. Like I said, black men are not treated the same when they stand trial. I don't care if you're an actor, celebrity, whatever the case may be. It's not the same, because had this been a white actor, would it have went that way? I was watching MSN News, and one of the jurors, a young guy, I think he's like 26, Snyder or something was his name, and he was explaining the reason why Bill Cosby's fate was sealed on this case was because of his disposition. And he spoke about the Quaaludes that Bill Cosby actually admitted to giving that. Now, my thing is, let's say if they had some jurors for maybe 60s, 50s, around that era, who understood what Quaaludes even was, and that was like something that was so normal, would this have went a different way? So I feel like you have certain people that's jurors sitting there, and they're just hearing, oh, okay, date rape, drug. They don't know what's going on, because I think that, you know, I forgot what her name is, that basketball player, you know, who was standing trial.
Andrea Constance.
I think that she may have participated in it with him. You know what I mean? She knew she was going to be doing Quaaludes and so forth. So, like, I just feel like certain things in this case, depending on the generation, they have no knowledge of. So to convict him on just that, I don't know. This is still kind of iffy. And they said that, you know, like the Me Too movement wasn't part of their decision and so forth. Okay, but let me just put this out there for you guys with the Me Too movement. Let's say we have this movement, whatever. We have this movement, right? And Bill Cosby was not convicted. How do you think that would have been an uproar to that movement? Would it have been thrown out the window at this point?
I would have heard him.
Mm-hmm.
Would have hurt them.
Okay. It would have hurt them. They would have been hurt by it.
But they would be hurt by it is, bottom line, despite what everybody think, whether he did it or not, was there solid evidence that he did it?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, what was the crime? Let's get down to the bottom of it. What was the crime?
She was drunk.
Well,
right?
They said that he popped the pill inside,
yeah.
And as one of the victims allegedly said that he had her come over.
How could you have a crime with no evidence? You see what I'm saying?
If he was drugged, how do you remember so much information?
Exactly.
If he was drugged.
Here's my take on it. You know, there are two sides to a story.
Sorry, Kato, I keep telling you, Kato, I'm sorry. Three sides to every story.
No, that's well, I'm getting to that.
I'm sorry. No. We repeat three sides to every story.
Okay, three sides to everything. But yet, here's my question. Why wasn't Bill Cosby called onto the stand to testify?
They told him not to. The lawyers told him not to do it. And that will put him in bigger trouble.
Yeah,
right.
Because
no
that's in the best interest, especially
that's
where he already admitted, you know, that, yeah, we did this date drug. And that's what the appeal is for also, guys. Come on. You know, we're going to be riled up right now. He's going to do the appeal, and who knows if he may get off on the appeal.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Because
whatever happened to the truth? He said, yeah, I went and got – listen, he never said he – once again, you can't force someone. Like Tisha. So let's say me and you go out on a date, we hanging out, and you're like, hey, will you come over to the crib and, you know, we can watch some movies. Listen, I'm not going to assume, like if I say, hey, I got some trees, you know, you burn? Oh, yeah, I burn. Well, it's up to you to say, well, I'll burn with you. My
boy,
thing is, if he bought it,
if he bought it,
you know what I'm saying, how could you sit there and be like, yo, okay, he forced her. He didn't put a gun to her head. He didn't do none of that stuff.
I'm not saying that at all. Here's my thing with what you just said in response to that, Brother B. Now, that's up to me now to say, oh, do I think Brother B might have this weed lace? Do I want to even smoke this with him? Now, that's
exactly
my point with I don't know what she did. You understand what I'm saying? And she's not telling us what she did. You get
and
the point?
Even if.
Yeah.
She went over there knowing that he had quaaludes, knowing that they were going to partake in this, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing, one, how she may react on the drugs, especially if she's being put in alcoholic beverage. And number two, once you've taken the pill and you're unconscious, you've lost the ability to give consent. So the problem here is if the person is unconscious,
how could they remember?
And the person that's given the quaaludes knows the person is unconscious. It's supposed to end there because that person has no way to give consent other than putting it in writing. I'm unconscious. You can do what you want with me. I'm asleep. That person, one, isn't going to remember anything like you just stated unless it's going to be fuzzy images, et cetera, like what a lot of these alleged victims have said. Second of all, that doesn't give him the right, even if they both agree to it, for him to take advantage of the person when the person is unconscious anyway.
But how do we know? First of all, how do we know he took advantage? And how do we know? Listen, let's be real here. Stop. Let's stop beating around the bush. Netflix and chill. How many times, and I'm going to say it again, because I've been in that scenario. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell a real, very quick story. Me and this chick went out one time years ago. She said, hey, you know, I said, listen, I'm going to escort you home. She said, oh, well, don't think anything's going to happen. I said, I'm not. I'm going to escort you to your door, and then I'm out. So as we were on the way there, she was like, well, if you want, you can spend the night, this, that, and the third. So I went into the house. I went to sit on the couch. She went and took a shower, put on Luther Vandross and a few other things.
Oh,
so,
yeah, go ahead. Keep talking.
Now, mind you.
No, man.
Now,
keep preaching, bro.
I slept in the bed with her that night. I slept in the bed with her, and I did nothing to her. Do you know that when we got back to work on Monday, she wouldn't even talk to me? She wouldn't talk to me at all. And I was like, wait a minute. So I go to one of my bros, and I'm like, yo, what happened? He said, dude, you were supposed to smash it. I said, what do you mean I was supposed to smash it? I was supposed to assume that she – he said, dude, she offered you a drink. You know what I'm saying? She put on Luther Vandross. She said she was going to take a shower. What do you think that it was? I would think of that she was being polite and she wanted to get herself clean. He was like, "Yo, you being stupid." But you see where I'm going with this?
No, you asked her.
She probably thought that moment you're gay. You didn't not take off the cookie.
Exactly.
She probably thought you're gay.
Exactly. But my whole thing is, we all listen. We have to stop playing these damn games. If we already know what we come in here to do, then yo, it's mutual. If you know, if I say, "Hey, I'm bringing the bag," this, that, and the third. Listen, most dudes are either going to assume or they're just not going to assume, but some type of signal. Because what women really come up and say, "Hey, I want you to come over and blow my back out." You got women that do it, but then there are other women that'll be like, I'm just not. You read the sign. And I've heard other women say that to me. Like, "Yo, you stupid. You didn't read the signs. You think I invited you over to my house for pasta and tomatoes? Dude, I did this, I did that. You didn't want to do anything." I said, "Dude, I'm not going to assume that you wanted to get all busy." But once again, if you create that type of environment, what do you think is going to happen? It's not to say that Bill did it. It's not to say that he did it. But how do you know that they didn't talk about this like, "Yo, whatever happens, happens." Because I've heard that.
You
want
to know something?
That's the problem. You can't legislate intent, but opportunity is there, and that's what you have to go on based on the evidence.
And, you know, with all of this being said, the women claimed, that they went to his place and that, how he gave them wine and that they were knocked out and they felt on top of – and they felt him doing all these things to them. Now, here's my question. You're supposed to be knocked out on the Quaaludes, right? Quaaludes are there to knock you out. So how the hell is it that you remember what happened? You know, this is my question. This is what I have to ask.
How
the hell do you remember that?
Well,
if you're knocked out.
It's also supposed to heighten the sexual experience, so we don't know how each person's body will react to it.
Right.
Just like alcohol, just like weed, just like anything else. But for Tatisha, since we're into this Me Too Time's Up movement, now there's been talks about Time's Up. They want to bring back the R. Kelly case back of 20 years ago and the sexual rapes and everything. How do you feel about that? Do you think they should bring that case back up again? And since the Bill Cosby thing is almost over, let's take on R. Kelly next. Do you think there's another attack on more black men?
So let me reiterate with the Me Too movement. I support it for the fact that it allows certain people who's been ashamed to come out and say what happened to them. Now, I'm not with the liars that are part of the Me Too movement that will just join the club. I'm not with that. So I'm with, you know, people coming out and saying and finally talking about what happened. It's sort of like, you know, unity. As far as this R. Kelly thing, why are we bringing this back up again? What's going to be this outcome? Because isn't he right now, like, running, like, some sort of one of those, like, cult sex slave type stuff with these 17-year-old girls still? So why aren't we talking about that? I don't want to hear about the peeing stuff anymore. Let's talk about the
crime. No, we're not going to talk about that.
Hold on, 1 minute, kiddo. Bill Cosby case was over 30 years ago, and they brought that up again. So what's the difference between the Bill Cosby case in R. Kelly case? It was
Bill Cosby was a threat. Kelly isn't.
Yeah, we know Bill Cosby was a threat, and this was also the first time that they were able to actually, I'm sure he was. And this was actually the first time that they were able to take him to trial, right?
Didn't R. Kelly go to trial already?
From what I remember about the case is that he settled out of court with a lot of the victims involved, and for the most part, fought the silence. Also, he wasn't trying to buy a network either.
But also, I just want to bring up something about R. Kelly, because you know why? Today I was reading a news online that said like this, that the Women of Color Committee of the Time's Up organization announced that they would be joining the hashtag Mute R. Kelly campaign. You understand?
Now what's that?
The Mute R. Kelly campaign was created by Kenyatta Barnes and Araki Ardeli last year in response to the continued sexual assault allegations made against the singer. And the then they say these accusations seem to have a little or to no effect on R. Kelly's career. And even that, they said like this, with the current onslaught of sexual misconduct against men in the entertainment industry, the campaign calls for RCA Records and other companies to stop working with the 51-year-old artist.
Okay, so what does that mean? That they're trying to protest against his music and things like that?
Yeah, they're trying to mute R. Kelly. They say it's a mute R. Kelly campaign. They started it. And, you know, this is what they said. They said like this, and I'm going to read, this is what I read from The Root. Over the past 25 years, the man publicly known as R. Kelly has sold 60 million albums, toured the globe repeatedly, and accumulated hundreds of millions of plays on radio and streaming services. And they say the campaign would like to see Apple Music, Spotify, and Ticketmaster stop promoting Kelly's music and concerts.
And these are women of color?
Yeah, these are women of color.
All right, all right. And you know what bothers me about that? Once again,
preach on, brother.
Your credibility. You'll go after one of us, but you won't go after anybody else. You'll go after Starbucks, but you won't go after the manager or the cops.
Nobody's going after Donald Trump neither.
Stop picking the BS battles. Stop picking the easy. Like, stop. Don't go for R. Kelly. Go for Weinstein. Oh, you're not going to do that because he's Jewish? You're not going to go after Kevin Spacey because he's white? You're not going to go after the father from Seventh Heaven who admitted to molesting all types of boys. You're not going to go after him. Why? Because he's white? You're not going to go after the senator. Why? Because he's a white senator? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, stop doing that. Because you know what?
Just
they expect
to bring
us
down
to
the
do
black
this.
Man.
They expect us. And this is, this once again, this drives a wedge between us. Start shifting your focus someplace else, and let's see how much a response you'll get. Because I bet you if they tried that with Harvey Weinstein, they wouldn't get no wind under their wings.
Sean,
not at all.
No, they wouldn't.
See, white people can do it to white people. Black people can do it to black people. And white people can do it to black people, but black people cannot do it to the whites.
I can understand the argument. That makes sense from where you're coming from, Brother B. Also, I think it's from the position of when African Americans, especially African American women, are victimized in some instance, they take what they can get. Because
yes, they do.
It's much harder in the grand scheme of victimization for an African American's voice to be heard than when you hear a white woman in the same situation, same economic background, same victimization. How many times have we heard about a white girl gone missing? And it's all over the 10 o'clock news, 6 o'clock news,
oh, it's
5
all
o'clock
over.
News. It's all over.
But Sean,
when you hear about
is...
African-American girl, same situation, you won't hear about something until, unfortunately, she's either almost dead. Or something has happened to her that
right.
has been so horrific that her life has been ruined. And that's kind of the world that we live in now where you're coming from, Brother B, as far as that going after the – instead of going after the shark, you're going after the guppies in the pool that the shark eats. And instead of that, going after the big fish, when you have – more than enough people that will get behind you, because we're in a time now where women are being heard and they are starting to be believed, which did not happen 5 years ago.
Whose fault is that? And who created that climate? I'm sorry, but the Caucasian man did that. That's not on us.
That's what I was going to get to because. Time and time again, we hear of these things happening because, you know what, look at the media. What do the media promote, especially when it comes to the Me Too movement, the rapes and all? I mean, yeah, Bill Cosby was convicted, but yet, once again, we do have to bring up Harvey Weinstein. And what about Charlie Sheen? Charlie Sheen came out and said that he has the HIV. How many other women has he affected with the HIV? These are questions that we need to ask.
We may never know, unfortunately, to that. And one more note I'd like to add before I move on. And I sent this video out to Tisha, K-Dog, and Sean over the weekend. I was on a bus, crowded bus. And, of course, the bus there was a commotion, altercation going on between a man and a woman, and the woman claimed that the guy touched or grabbed her ass. I cannot confirm or deny because I did not see it, but I was finding it funny how the altercation erupted. I was screaming and big commotion going on, and she started punching the guy for quote unquote touching her ass. And like I told Tisha, I'm like, I don't know what really happened, but if I have to choose, I would probably choose the guy's side, you know, because he sounded very defensive, like, I did not touch her ass. And I believe with the society going on today, this Bill Cosby, the R. Kelly, the Harvey Weinstein, everybody's up in fences. And like Tisha said a few weeks ago, people are fear of what's going on. I mean, you have a crowded bus. Maybe the bus does jerk it a little bit, and the guy accidentally hit her in the butt or whatever. It was just a crowded bus, but the commotion about it, like, is I believe that fear is getting to everybody right now. Like, you're afraid to, if you touch a woman a certain way. So that's why I understand what Buddy's story is. If he
is it fear
or
is it brainwashed? You know what I mean?
I say
yeah. Exactly.
It could be both. I just don't know anymore. And like I told Sean yesterday, I went to a restaurant and I was talking to someone and I accidentally bumped into someone and she started screaming at me that I touched her butt. And the boyfriend told me,
hey,
on my, she's just drunk. I was so scared for my life because you guys know me. I may be a pervert, but I have limits.
But you know what's sad,
Hot Rod? God forbid, and I do, and I will stress, God forbid you ever get into a situation. Someone will probably take everything that you said on this show, on Facebook, and said you said,
and turn it against
you said
you.
Yourself. Yep. You said yourself that you're a pervert. You see, you can't even make jokes anymore.
You know what?
Everybody is so goddamn sensitive.
Oh, okay.
Allow me to say this.
Hold on, allow me to say this before we switch.
I'm going to make it quick. This is going to cause a lot of men to be disrespectful. And I'm not saying it in a bad way, but you understand what I'm saying. I'm just saying it in general. That's all I got.
I don't think they're going to be disrespectful. I think they're going to be fearful. I had a situation earlier where I went to a deli just to get something to drink, and there was a female on the phone standing in front of me. But she had her back turned. So she's on the phone and she's backing up. And I've noticed I'm backing as far away from her as possible.
Exactly.
I don't want to make sure that she bumps into me by accident and something happens coming forth. So I think there's a grace period of fear between males and females because of this that's been going on with this Me Too movement. A lot
of
males are scared to death in how to interact with other females.
All right, Sean. Okay, thank you for your story. All right, gotta go to the last topic. This is going out to Tisha. This gentleman presented me this question, so we'll present it to you, and the guys can follow after. A couple start dating, and it goes on 5 days so far. The man has paid for all 5 dates. The woman has never offered to pay for any of these dates. What does this mean to you, Tisha? That means A, men are supposed to pay for all dates. B, he should have asked her to contribute to the bill. Or C, she's selfish and inconsiderate.
You know, it's really interesting. For the first date, I would expect the guy to pay, but after that, we could go half. I could pay for one, you could pay for another. It's not a big thing to me, though.
But the key thing, should he have to say something about that?
After 5 days, we could go half from now on.
Because a lot of females don't see it that way. Some females today still see that the guy should pay for everything. Especially
if we're talking about rates, right? And we're talking about we're making just as much money as you guys now. I think, come on, step up to the plate. It's not that serious. It's a date. We can go half. Why not?
But then you'll have one of the housewives from Atlanta say, girl, you crazy. You better get all you can.
Why am I crazy? If I'm preaching, I'm independent. You know what I mean? Come on now.
I hear you. But you know what? Listen, it's the same way that this woman who claimed that she was drugged by Bill Cosby got up in front of a microphone and said, in the spirit of Martin Luther King. Really?
Oh my goodness! I saw that, Brother B. As a matter of fact, I got the message today. I was cracking up.
Now you're crossing. Now you're trying to. I don't know what are you trying to sell. and then you're trying to talk about the black boy that you saw in the jury, and you said he reminds you of your son, and I don't know. See, that's where you start to lose credibility with me, because one minute you apparently you were drugged. Apparently you were drugged because you're delusional. Because now all of a sudden you want to disrespect. I can't stand when people want to take our heroes and make them use them. Yeah, exactly. And it's like you can't compare the black struggle to whatever you went through. We've been going through it, and we're still going through it. You went through something that you probably helped put yourself into, because you once again, it's a
compromise.
It was equal. You both compromised yourself. Bill Cosby and her were both doing stupid. They were both reckless. We're all guilty of it. But the whole thing is this. Somebody just didn't like the outcome. That woman got paid $3.8 million. And I guess she wanted more. But the whole thing is this. We need to stop. This has to stop. We both need each other. Men need women and women need men. Stop acting like, oh, I can do this all by myself. Because I don't hear too many men saying, oh, I can do it without a woman. No,
Well, you know, that's what I have the left and the right hand for now. So I don't need a woman now these days, you know.
Rod, you need a woman to wipe that butt. Just stop that. Just stop it,
man.
Okay?
But,
change those diapers. Listen.
But Sean, do you think it's fair for a man to ask for money on a date?
Listen, for me personally, I would much rather pay for the date myself. I'm sorry. That's just me, because I feel that, yes, if I'm taking a woman out on a date, plus, hey, man, pay for it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Are you saying that because you have the old school mentality? Because we used to do that back then.
Because that's how I was brought up. I was always brought up to pay for the woman, to pay for both of us. When we're going out on a date, I'm paying for both. You know, I'm not going to – I can't – because, I don't know, it's just me, because I cannot allow a woman to pay.
Next week on the show, I will have like 10 females calling up trying to have a couple of date with you. Watch. Because they want you to pay for everything.
Really?
You have not seen that on the air.
Hey, and they're going to go to Red Lobster.
Let's shout out his email.
You know. Sean, we got 2 minutes left. What do you like to say?
I think if you're the one that actually did the inviting, if I'm the one that invited the female out to dinner, I'm going to pay for it. If she invited me, I will ask, well, you know what? Thank you for the gesture. Let me pay for it. And if she says, don't worry about it, I got you. No problem. I have no issue with whoever feel the need to pay for it, or if you want to split it in the middle. It doesn't make a difference to me, as long as we're not out there washing dishes, because that's usually what will end up happening if nobody's paying. So,
oh, man.
That's one of those things that I think we live in. Like you said, it's an old school mentality that a lot of males have that they're taught from their fathers and grandfathers and uncles, et cetera. You're the one, you're the man, you make the money, et cetera, et cetera. You pay for the meals.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you guys know right now, when you and I, we all go out, I'm giving a check to Brother B, okay? He's taking care of it. That's all I have to say about that. So Brother B,
only for the drinks.
Everything else is on you.
I'm like, but the reason why I brought that up, because it does cause problems in relationships, and you know, guys, the new guys, they do cry about it, about why they don't pay for the whole thing. And also at the same time, when someone like Kato, when someone like Kato Jessel, who offered to pay for everything, remember, ladies, some guys look for something in return. So keep that in mind if the man keeps buying.
I ain't look for nothing in return. I don't need nothing in return. Please, listen, look. If
I want something in return. I want a smile. I want to thank you. I want a fist bump.
I want to thank you. And I want to say, hey, let's go out again.
Okay.
That's all
I need. In other words, you just want to be appreciated for the gesture.
That's exactly.
Okay. All right. I'm telling the truth. I want sex. Okay. I want
oh,
the new
goodness.
All right.
Oh,
I want
at least you're incriminating himself.
He ain't being a hypocrite about it.
Hot Rod, for the show's sake, put your disclaimer out right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, you leave yourself out there on the vine.
if I'm sleeping outside of my porch again, you know why. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Brother B, Tisha, K-Dog, Sean, Scott, thank you so much for a great show tonight. Can't wait to do this again next week. And no, I will not be sleeping outside on the porch tonight, but baby mama drama is right here looking at me. Guys, thank you once again. Until the next time, have a good night.
Good night,
everyone.
Peace out, y'all.
Peace.